Welcome to the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast, featuring advice and interviews about athlete branding. Learn how marketing, public relations, and broadcasting can grow your brand. We also have special episodes to talk about recent news, events, and anything in the world of sports. The podcast is sponsored by Pliable, a versatile marketing, PR, and broadcasting company that identifies opportunities and creates tailored content for its clients. Now it's time to roll. Here's your host, Greg Glenn.
Thanks, and welcome to the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast. In this episode, we're talking about name, image, and likeness with a former college baseball player. Today's guest is Ryan Schachner. He's a former college baseball player that turned a career and an MLB dream-ending injury into one of the fastest-growing financial planning firms in the Southeast. He's also written a book. He's going to tell us all about it. Ryan, welcome to the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast.
I appreciate you having me. I'm excited to go.
Yeah, this is going to be good because you certainly fit the mold of some of these athletes that we see today, which is have great aspirations, incredible talent, and then all of a sudden something comes along in life that we didn't see coming. Much like myself, I've told that to the athletes that I work with the back injury I had. We sometimes never see it coming. Talk to me about what happened to you and your story.
Yeah. So, you know, at 13 years old, I kind of accidentally stumbled into a major league tryout camp. I was practicing and they needed an extra catcher. And so they came and asked me if I would catch some of the players, and I was doing a good enough job. So they, you know, they let me hit and all that kind of stuff. And from then on, I was, you know, on the radar. Right. And so that's really when I thought, hey, this major league thing could really be a reality for me. And so fast forward my freshman year of college, I needed to get bigger and stronger. This was in the home run era. I didn't know that, you know, there was some extracurricular that were helping all these guys hit the home runs, but I needed to get bigger and stronger. And so I went to college with the idea of, hey, I'm going to play, I'm going to get bigger, and then I'm going to, you know, get drafted and get on with my life. Right. And last game of my freshman year, I was going to warm up. We were in Chicago, Illinois, Chicago. We were playing, and beautiful skyline of Chicago, sunny day. I go to pick up the ball to warm up, and there was a big pop, and my shoulder just kind of fell down, and I couldn't move it. And it, you know, that ugly bruising color was almost immediate, and ended up being multiple rotator cuff tears, multiple tears in the labrum. And because it was hurting for so long, whenever I would throw, it would kind of bounce in and out of the socket. So there was a lot of kind of damage and chipping and all that kind of stuff. And so that was it. I was done.
So it literally, when you reached down, it just came out of nowhere.
Yeah. Well, wow. You know, I had been hurting for a while, right?
Right, but just that simple, that final action of just reaching down.
It was one of those, you know, weird things that, yep. You know, you reach down to pick up a ball, you know, how many times as a baseball right. player, and then all of a sudden pop, and I didn't know it at the time, but that was it.
Yeah, now, obviously, where did you go to college to explain to people where you went and kind of how that happened, you know?
Yeah, I went to Cardinal Stritch, which it's in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So I grew up in Wisconsin, and I didn't even know that the school existed, to be honest with you, right? I had taken an official trip down to Auburn and was looking to play there. And I had a bunch of buddies that said, hey, you're going to go to the South. You're going to live in trailers and all this kind of stuff. And I dismissed them. I'm like, nah, you don't know what you're talking about. And sure enough, I get there and there's trailers all over the place and there's athletes. Now, they were nice, right? They were these nice little double wide where some of the athletes stayed. But I'm like, I can't tell my buddies that, I'm living in trailers. Like, they're never going to talk to me again. And so it was part that. It was part, you know, would have had the red shirt and not play and all that kind of stuff. And so maybe as a junior, I would have gotten some playing time. And I'm like, no, I can't, like, this isn't my final destination. I need to go somewhere where I can play right away. And so I went to Cardinal Stritch because at that time I would have been able to, after my freshman year, leave and go to the draft. So,
right. Wow. Cool. Well, I appreciate you sharing that story. I think a lot of people will find, you know, they've either had similar experiences or find it as motivation. So you took it and obviously turned this into a book, writing kind of the book here about the Foundation for Financial Excellence. And this really came out right after NIL. So talk to me about how this became an international bestseller.
Yeah. So I, you know, it very lucky, right? Baseball player, not so focused on school. When my injury happened, I feel like I lost my identity, right? And so a lot of athletes, whether it's through injury or whenever they're done playing, their identity was so wrapped up in being an athlete that they don't know what to do, right? And so I went through all that. I got into the one industry that would take me and get an internship, right? Because at the end of my freshman year, I was done. I had three more years of school now that I wasn't planning on. And I wasn't the best student. My grade point average wasn't that good. So I was like, I just need an internship. I got to get in somewhere and I got to get active, get let people know that I can work. And so I got into the financial services space. And then, you know, kind of used my athletic skills to excel there. So I spent 25 years in that space. And then during the COVID time, you know, we were all sitting at home and, you know, there's not a lot to do. And so I just started putting a book together because some of the some of my clients were professional athletes and I had always rebuilt them after something bad happened. They always said, hey, you need to do a book. You need to teach this to athletes. But I was so focused on building my firm because we were in five states at that point and that I, you know, it just wasn't a priority for me until it became, you know, the only thing I could do. And so so I did that. I wrote the book, went through editing, through that editing process and just some networking. I had a number of athletes that helped out on the book. Mm-hmm. So Roy Williams that played at Oklahoma and the Cowboys wrote the foreword. Anthony Tolliver, who played 14 or 15 years in the NBA, came on and gave his, you know, tips at the end of each chapter from his perspective of being a pro athlete, stuff he saw and all that. And then a number of athletes that, you know, just their stories they shared and all that. And, you know, put this together, and get a call and somebody wants to, you know, do the book. And I was like, all right, let's do it. And, I think, you know, NIL went live and then 5 or 6 days later, my book went live. And I will, you know, I credit NIL because I don't think it would have been a priority purchase right. for a lot of people, but it sold, it did well. It hit bestseller. And then I joke because, you know, it's an international bestseller, but that's because one person in Canada bought it. And so that made it international. So, you know, so it did well. And that got me then thrust into, you know, this whole athlete world and understanding, you know, what's going on, the NIL space, the player development and all that sort of thing.
Well, and I think it's so important. Obviously, the financial literacy that comes along with this, you know, is so important. As you said, you know, a lot of times athletes realize that they're done and they have kind of an identity crisis. And then you throw possibly a financial crisis on top of it, depending on when or where that career ends, and you've got yourself a real problem. So I think it's a great topic. I hear about it all the time. Big advocate for financial literacy and want to be able to kind of emphasize to athletes listening to this podcast, you know, certainly maybe some of the key takeaways that you've had in writing the book and maybe as an athlete.
Yeah. I mean, I think writing the book, you know, one, I'm dyslexic, right? So I hadn't read that many books, right? Much less thought I could write one. And so, you know, we have this perception of who we are as an athlete, and we don't understand all the transferable skills that you can use to have success in life, right? And, you know, we never want to think about our last game, and we never know when it's going to be. And, you know, in our minds, we ride off into the sunset, like, you know, we win the Super Bowl or World Series, our last game, and then we call it quits after a, you know, a 20-year career. And the reality is very, very few athletes get to end it that way. You know, most of the time, the decision's made for us. And one day we're wearing a number, the next day somebody else is wearing our number. And it, you know, the importance of, and I think NIL really plays into this, but the importance of, at the same time you're refining your athletic skills, athletic talents, to build a parallel personality outside of your sport, so that, you know, you don't have that cliff, right? You go through the you know, depression, quite frankly, a lot of people, I know I did when I was done. But you can accomplish, right? You have these skills that you can use to accomplish and lots of things, and not to limit yourself based on what your perception of who you are is.
Yeah. And I think, too, you're obviously experienced recently at the NFL Combine, and just being around professional athletes, it's so much different today than it was when, you know, you were in college. When I was in college, it was, you know, there wasn't even social media to really use or to promote your own personal brand. Personal branding was kind of an early adoption process. Michael Jordan did it obviously a little bit, but not to the extent that we've got today. And it brings a big smile to my face, because this is a whole nother outlet for these athletes to tap into, to build their personal, or what I call their athlete brand, to leverage that during and after their career. I'm sure you're starting to see more and more of this at the professional level.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, we use this word brand, right? Athletes were building their brand before. They weren't necessarily doing it with a strategy. And non-athletes were building their brand before, right? And we put it on a resume, and we, you know, networked, and we tried to get better promotions and move. It's really just your reputation, right? And so being able to identify who you are and take ownership and control of that and communicate it and leverage the time that you're in your sports, because it's a small dot on the timeline. Even if you go pro, it's a really small dot on the timeline.
Talk to me about your experience at the NFL Combine and what you kind of were up to, and some of the athletes maybe you ran into or, you know, work with.
Yeah. So we were very fortunate to work with XPE, who's a coach, gets guys ready for the combine. He, Tony Villani and his team, they are, they have a shred mill. I think they've had the last 7 years the top 40 time in the combine, and so they're known as speed guys, right? Tony's focus is on the whole player, right? And one thing that my partner Sam and I put together was, how can we get these athletes ready for the interview process, right? We're not out there, you know, making them run faster, but we can help them mature and get a mindset and understand the value that they bring to the team and to life after. And so we had developed a technology, for lack of a better word, where we can send them text messages, and we can identify their core strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, things that might threaten their progress. And then at the same time, we can measure things like heart, grit, mindfulness, inquisitiveness. And so we put this program together, which was 7 weeks that they would respond to these messages, along with a 30-minute, lesson, for lack of a better word. And so we broke them down and built them back up from how to communicate, how to shake hands, look people in the eye, how to understand the type of personality you're dealing with, and how to tailor your conversation to that, how to explain the true value you bring to an organization. Like, can you make decisions and changes in a quick way when you're on the field? Can you focus, high stress, high energy? Can you focus on that? Are you that glue that holds the team together? Do you know how to prioritize? Well, all these sorts of things that we're able to identify, so that when they're having dialogue and interviews with the scouts, they don't sound like everybody else. They sound, you know, more mature. They're talking about things that matter when it comes to longevity in the NFL. And so super fun. These guys, I'll tell you what, they learned it, internalized it, and executed it quicker than I think anybody would have imagined. certainly quicker than a lot of corporate people that we deal with. But it was, you know, it just goes to echo the player development aspect that these athletes are craving and don't know how to necessarily, you know, articulate it or where to get it and that sort of thing.
Yeah. One thing I was curious about related to, you know, NIL, and now we're seeing athletes become entrepreneurs. What to you is kind of the brightest spot that is on NIL right now that people aren't tapping into or the possibilities?
Yeah. So that's a great question, because I think the media highlights the collectives and ignores the athlete that's out there grinding and actually building something, a business or a brand that can truly change where they go in life. And so I think it's that entrepreneurial, it's how NIL is getting, you know, athletes that are maybe quieter and shy to express themselves and break out of that and realize that they can accomplish, you know, a lot more and get them in proximity to other athletes. And so I think when I talk NIL, it's about the education piece, and not, you know, books and top geography, not that type of education, right? We know that there's this other economy that has been built out, and it's largely due to social media, and communicating on it and all that. And I think what NIL has done is it's drawn a lot of athletes in that maybe they're not excited to go to that English class or, you know, geometry or that sort of thing. They want to know how to make money. And this is getting them brought back in to learn things like marketing, to learn things like financial literacy. How do I grow a business? And they're now getting, you know, brought back into that education piece. And they're be able to experiment in real time with themselves on how to execute this, right? They're learning sales. They're learning all these things that are going to help them be a success in life. Whereas before, prior, you know, like me, you know, I was not interested in my Spanish class, right? I didn't care about, you know, the reading the book and writing the, like, not a concern of mine. There were things that I was interested in. Had they had those sorts of courses or something like NIL to bring me back in, who knows where I would have went.
Yeah, no, I think that's really important. It does provide kind of like a guiding light. And I think that one of the key things that I always say to athletes is the greatest investment you can make is in yourself. And so if you understand this now and you can invest in yourself from all these skills like we're talking about, you're going to come out of college, you're going to come out of your pro career with so many more skills that are going to put you so far ahead of that competition. As a competitive athlete, you want to win. You want to be better than the next person. And doing NIL, in my mind, like you said, the true NIL is really meant for that. And I think it's so great when you have an athlete, for example, pliable athlete Katie Shanahan, who goes to Quinnipiac University, already knows she wants to open up a fitness studio, is aligning herself with fitness and wellness brands to build her network and build her skills in that industry, is brilliant.
I mean, and that's the beauty of what NIL is, because prior to, she would have had to wait till she graduated in order to do all this, right? So you have to, as athletes, you had to pause your life, go to school, play your sport, for then you to start making your dreams come true. Now you can do it all at the same time.
Yep. And for people that, you know, have really good time management skills, you know, shout out to Katie, because she's got over 12 nil deals right now and just keeps crushing it, you know, and she's fired up and she's motivated and she's a go-getter. And I love working with athletes like that, because that's what the true NIL was really all about. So
absolutely.
Let's talk here as we wrap up, is you look at the next big thing or the opportunity that you're working on.
Yeah, I mean, we've rolled out, you know, we've had a lot of good conversations inside the NFL circles to further the technology that we brought out. We've launched a number of high schools and club teams you know, getting them ready for that recruiting process, understanding who they are, creating that self-awareness, helping them with the communication side so that, you know, in the era of the transfer portal where less and less high school athletes are getting scholarship shots at, you know, especially at places that they, you know, had desired to go, how do you stand out and set yourself apart from that, you know, 2 or 3 year athlete that's in college, that portal athlete? A number of colleges that we're launching with, you know, we have a psychology of money, you know, we call these mind labs, but that we're getting a lot of these athletes to go through, understanding, you know, where does their, you know, how does their parents' view and their grandparents' view of money impact their view of money, and is it valid? Is there bad stuff in there that we need to get out? And how do you formulate your own opinion of what you do with your money? So all these types of things, and I mean, it's really exciting. We're talking to, you know, tons of athletes, and you know, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, it sounds great. And I really love what you guys do. I've got a few teams actually in mind that I'm going to try and get over to you, in addition to some pliable athletes that are on those teams, because I do think it's a very valuable program. Obviously, had Sam on the podcast as well. As we wrap up, how about advice for today's athletes?
You know, think bigger, build yourself, you know, build that parallel path, refine your athletic skills, but understand that at some point, whether it's your choosing or not, your athletic career is going to be done. And so take advantage, enjoy the time that you have right now, because one day it's going to be gone, and you're not going to be able to move around like you used to. But think bigger about what you can accomplish. Your athletic skills have set you up to truly be successful in life in whatever you get after. But just think bigger. Don't limit yourself, and get after it.
Perfect. Well, that sounds good. Appreciate you coming on the podcast, Ryan. You've been a great guest.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
All right. I'm Greg Glenn. We're glad you could tune in, and stay pliable, my friends.
Thanks for listening to the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes from today's episode and catch up on recent episodes at pliablemarketing.com. We also encourage you to share topics and guest ideas by emailing our production staff at pliablemarketing@gmail.com. We love hearing from our loyal listeners and athletes who want to grow their brand. So jump in and be part of the podcast, because that's how we roll.